Blog Talk Radio.
Let me hear it now. SOY Radio is in your ear. What's up, y'all? I am your boy Z Fly, and y'all know it is another time, another day, for my review of The Real Housewives of Atlanta Season 6. And today I will be reviewing Episode 4 of The Ratchetness of Atlanta, okay? So let's just go ahead on and get into it, all right? So today I'm going to start with Kenya first. You know what I'm saying? If y'all remember, Episode 4 started out with Kenya. She was going to the little exercise place, you know, like where she was swinging around in the little, I don't know what you call it, to be honest with you. I forgot what you call it, but you know how, like, the women, they swing in the ropes. Not really a rope, but you know what I'm saying? And she was really good. It was supposed to be her and Candy that was going to, you know what I'm saying, do this little class together, swinging, you know, looking like they, I don't know, swinging from, I don't know. But Candy came in with a broke hip or a hurt foot, a sprained ankle, whatever wrong with the girl. Something always wrong with Candy, you know. So, you know what I'm saying? So, basically, you know, Candy wasn't able to swing from whatever you call it. And so, you know, they just started talking. And, you know, Candy, she's going to get into everybody's business. And so, basically, you know, she had, you know, they sat outside and she asked, you know, Kenya about the text that her and Apollo, you know, supposedly had, you know, text back and forth or whatever. So Kenya was more than happy to show her the text. And, you know what I'm saying, my thing is, you know, Candy and Phaedra, they are good best friends. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's cool. You know what I'm saying? It's good to have a friend that has your back. And, you know what I'm saying, that's going to look out for you as well. A lot of people think Candy's in my home business. I mean, I guess in a way, yeah. But in another way, like I said, you know, they're good friends. I would look out for my friends, especially if I feel like, you know, if there's somebody trying to attack their marriage or attack them somehow. So, you know, in a way, Candy was in the right. So as y'all remember, you know, Kenya, she has showed where Apollo, I'm going to give a whole new name, where Apollo, you know, sent her the text first and was like, you know, I'm in L.A., where are you, or whatever like that. So Kenya was just like, you know, he texted me first. And Kenya was like, well, you know, you should never has to sit nothing back and you should never call him babe. Okay, true. It might be true. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not on Kenya's side in this. But I am on the side that I feel like that they shouldn't be coming to Kenya as hard. I feel like they may be going to Apollo. I don't know why. Are they scared to go to Apollo or something? Do they feel like if they talk to him, he's not going to listen? Well, that's the one that needs to listen. I mean, you can get on Kenya, but so far, but she's not the married one. She's not the one that took vows. She's not the one that stood in front of God and took an oath. That was Apollo. So you can call Kenya hoes and ratchet and this and that and the third, but you also need to call Apollo those names as well, because he's the one that's actually going to be breaking vows. He's the one that's actually really cheating. I don't get that. So that's basically what happened on right there. You know, she just, you know, explained how Apollo texted her first. And that was that. All right, so moving on to Nene. So Nene actually goes to Kenya's apartment because, if y'all remember, in a previous episode, you know what I'm saying, she was just saying how Kenya needs to get herself together and how, you know, even though she's being evicted, don't, you know, pick yourself up and keep it moving, basically. Nene had offered to help, you know, Kenya find a place. She said, you can't live with me, but I will help you find a place. So she goes to apartment searching, and but first of all, she went to Kenya's house first, and she was just shocked how she was living. Now, like, like I've been telling y'all all this time, that Nene, her mind is just in outer space. You know what I'm saying? It's just, she's that type of person that she really forgets where she comes from. I'm pretty sure she has not always lived you know, how she's living now. She probably lived in some old ghetto place in the projects, you know, brick city. So now, and now all of a sudden, you know, she's able to afford nice things, and now she's looking down at other people. And, I mean, my thing is, like, Kenya apartment, it wasn't that bad. I guess, I mean, actually it wasn't bad at all. I'm pretty sure a lot of people would love to live there. But I guess Nene was looking at who you supposed to be. You supposed to be, what, the beauty queen or whatever she is, America queen. I don't know. But I guess she thought she should be living better than that. And then I don't know what type of neighborhood it was, but then Nene said it was the ghetto. So, and then I'm pretty sure Nene, she can definitely know what the ghetto looked like, being that she is from a ghetto. So yeah, she was, you know, shocked on how she was living. So, she, you know, she took her house shopping. And, but the thing is, the houses that she was showing her, I mean, it was nice, but she took her to this one condo, and the asking price was like $1.6 million. And, I mean, I know, you know, I know like these celebrities, they love to live in a certain way, but I'm just thinking, like, if it's just you and your doll, really? But Nene, you know, she's going to try to show her the best, and, you know, but Kenya ain't trying to live like that. I mean, come on now. I mean, these women, they be on TV acting like they so lavish and they live in like a Hollywood lifestyle. But then they ain't got that much money. Because if y'all remember in seasons past when Nene was looking at that $9 million house in Miami, did she ever get it? Nene knows she can't afford it, but she wants us to think that she can afford it. But I know she can't afford it because, you know what I'm saying? I mean, because back then, her career was like, especially like with the TV shows, it was just starting, and she's looking at $9 million houses. Now she's showing Kenya a $1.6 million house. I'm not saying Kenya can't afford it, but I doubt that Kenya wouldn't want to be paying that, because I don't even think that Kenya house, the one that she got evicted from, I don't even think that was in the millions. I think it was like, I don't remember how much it was, but I know it was like, it was in the six figures. So, you know, why would you want to go to 1 point, you know what I'm saying? Okay, Nene, bye. All right, so anyway, let's see, who else? Portia, let me go ahead and get Portia out of the way, because talking about her, my head started to hurt. So, let me see, in episode 4, I think Portia, she was speaking with the counselor about her marriage, and you know, she was just talking about, you know, what, you know, about the marriage, you know, how it happened, the divorce and stuff like that. Then kind of find out that Portia's name wasn't even on the deed or nothing. So it's just crazy, you know, just how she was. I mean, just how she was living. You know, she don't own nothing. Her name isn't on anything in the house. Cordell's name is on everything, so he could kick her out just the way he did. You know, he could kick her out. He could tell her to get out whenever he wants to. You know, she can't really sue because she don't own nothing. Nothing. She didn't. She. Oh boy. Oh, my head's starting to hurt because the more I think of her situation, it's just like he really set her up in a way that if he ever got sick of her or wanted to get rid of her, it would be so easy. I mean, she didn't. She was just there living. I mean, she was just there. She didn't own nothing. She wasn't about nothing. So, and then the sad thing is, she thought being like that was a way of being a wife. Because she actually said that, you know, she thought being a servant was being a wife. Like, I don't know what she reads. I mean, I don't know if she's reading, like, the Old Testament of the Bible or something, or if she's reading how to be a dumb housewife, because she definitely is not a strong housewife. I mean, she thinks being a servant was being a wife. Like, is she strictly reading from the cave woman book? I mean, I'm serious. You know, I'm very serious because, like, who does that in 2013? Like, who is talking about being a servant to your husband? That's being a wife. For one thing, I mean, to really, really be real, a lot of times husbands or men, they don't really want wives to be servants. Now, they may act like they want to, I mean, well, you know, a lot of men, they want their wives to submit and be this and be that. But at the end of the day, they don't really want that, you know what I'm saying? Because if they get a wife who submit and do everything he say and be a servant, they may, of course they'll enjoy it, you know what I'm saying? They're not going to shy away from it. You know, they'll use you and take advantage of you, but they don't respect you. You know what I'm saying? You might be a wife who submit to his to her or to your husband and do what he say, and you have no voice and you have no opinion, you have no mind of your own. Okay, sure, they like that, but they don't respect you. A lot of times, men, they won't tell you this because, you know what I'm saying, it's like giving you knowledge or something. But a lot of times, men, they want a woman who's going to challenge them. You know what I'm saying? They may act like they don't, but they don't want somebody who's going to roll over and play dead either. You know what I'm saying? They want somebody who's going to challenge them, you know what I'm saying, have an opinion, bring something to the table, you know, instead of just laying in bed with your legs open, okay? Now, I said that, and it's the truth. So that's all Portia was to Cordell, just someone to roll over, do whatever he say, you know, look pretty, be on his arm when they go to special events. But she didn't have a mind of her own. She didn't have an opinion. She didn't run nothing. She was nothing. She was nothing. That's what she was. So, yeah, and, you know, and the sad thing is she actually protected him through a lot of the falseness, you know, acting like he was a good husband, acting like he had her best interest at heart, you know, acting like he cared for her. And she knew deep down inside that he don't care for me. Look how he treat me. Look how he act. You know what I'm saying? And she knew these things. She knew these things deep down inside, but she continued to protect that man. And so at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? My thing is this right here. You can call Cordell all kinds of names, say he's this, that, and the third. He's wrong. He did that girl wrong. But you know what? She stayed there. Yeah, she stayed there. She continued to stay there. She might be kind of loopy and silly, but I hate it. I don't want to say that she's dumb. I mean, come on, man. She knows if somebody's treating her good and treating her wrong. So she continued to stay there, knowing that he was treating her wrong, knowing that she probably didn't feel like a woman. She probably just felt like some insecure little child. You know what I'm saying? But she continued to stay there. So you can only blame Cordell, but so far, that's really Portia's fault. You know, she stayed as long as she did. I guess she's wising up now. I don't know. The girl got a problem. Okay, and I keep saying she got a problem because it's the truth now. All right, now Cynthia. Okay, now Cynthia, you know, she just got out of the hospital. She's not at the house. You know, said Peter's supposed to be taking care of her, whatever, whatever. So Nene comes to visit her good friend, Cynthia. But while Nene was there visiting Cynthia, Candy calls in. And then, you know, she was talking about Portia and, you know, just how, like, you know, she wants to really help her out and get her self-esteem back up and stuff like that. So, you know, they made plan a little gathering for Portia. So Nene, she agreed to come. And so that's what they're planning for Portia, like a little gathering. I think that's nice, you know what I'm saying? You know, these women, they like each other. But I don't know. I guess at the same time, they can kind of relate to some things because I know, I wonder where I can relate to Portia, though. Because Portia's just kind of in a league of her own. Because, you know what I'm saying, the other women, now Cynthia now, I don't know, you know, she used to be kind of submissive, too. But I think having Nene as a friend, she's getting more of a voice because she used to be kind of, you know, like, I remember they used to get on Cynthia a lot because Peter, being the Jamaican he is, you know what I'm saying, just used to want to run things and just, you know, things go his way. And he don't know what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? And not that these men need to stop being so sensitive and get so emasculated quick when somebody tells them that you ain't got nothing going on. Because you don't. They want somebody to tell them, oh, you're doing a good job. Oh, yeah, you're going to do good. But you're not doing good. You in bankrupt. You ain't got no money. So and that's nothing about that. Get on my nerves about Peter. You know, he got that Jamaican mentality. And Jamaicans, they love for people to always, you know, stroke their ego. And they always want out. They in charge. And they want to be the man. And even when they're not the man. Because Peter won't do nothing. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a statement that Cynthia made that I'll share with you later in a later episode of my review. And it just stated that how Peter is and, you know, how things change for her. So Peter ain't doing nothing. But anyway, let's now going on to Candy. So, you know, so Phaedra and Candy, good buddies. So Phaedra meets with Candy, and you know what I'm saying? They were talking about Kenya's behavior. So Candy was telling Candy was telling Phaedra about, you know what I'm saying, about the text, about, you know, Kenya had showed Candy the text and stuff like that, about Apollo text first and stuff like that. And then, you know, Candy tells her about, you know, what was said and, you know, what Kenya said about how, you know, he texted her first and nothing happened and blah, blah, blah. But Phaedra said that Kenya was a... was at the same hotel as she and Apollo in Beverly Hills. So, you know, Kenya, she is acting like, you know, she don't really care about Apollo. But, you know, there was a time where she was lusting for him. And she was. She did want it. And she would have definitely gave it up. You know, just like Apollo said, if he would have pushed up on it, she would have gave it up. Because, for one thing, she didn't care about Phaedra. That was her friend. So, you know what I'm saying, she had eyes on Apollo. So if Apollo, you know what I'm saying, would have been like, hey, let's do it, you know what I'm saying, she would have did it. But I know that since it didn't work out that way, now, you know, she got to defend her character, like, oh, I don't want Apollo, I never did want him, blah, 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 yeah. Ken, you ain't got to lie. I mean, we saw how you look. I mean, even in, like, a lot of your interviews, she was like, oh, Apollo's fine, you know what I'm saying? So she really wanted Apollo, so she would have definitely went for Apollo. So, that's that. So, anyway, you know what I'm saying? So, Phaedra was just like, you know, she was at the same hotel as we were, and I'm pretty sure she was. And, you know, and I'm pretty sure Apollo knew that. I'm pretty sure Apollo was probably trying to figure out, you know what I'm saying, how can I get with her on the sneak tip? Yeah, don't, you know what I'm saying, Apollo, no. I don't let him off the hook either, because he would have done it too. And he probably did want to do it. that's the thing about it. So, anyway, so then, you know, finally... you know what I'm saying? We're getting to the little gathering or whatever. People start coming in. Nene and Cynthia show up, you know, at the gathering for Portia. And then, you know, finally Portia arrives and she starts talking about, you know, their divorce and things that really happened. So basically she also revealed that she had to ask to do anything. You know what I'm saying? Now, the more I really have a migraine right now, because the more I talk about this woman, I don't understand why she stayed. Okay, now you a wife, right? Right. Now, you asking your man, can you do things? Can I go hang out with the girls? Can I go to the store? Can I have some money? Can I go to sleep? Can I go to the bathroom? Can I think? You know what I'm saying? Like, she's asking Cordell to do things. And you know what? But hold on. Let me play devil's advocate. Let me get on the other side of the story, okay? You know what I'm saying? A lot of times... we always say, oh, the woman, she's silly. Why does she stay there? Let's get on Cordell for a minute. How in the world can you feel good about yourself treating somebody like that? You know what I'm saying? He has a problem, too. Cordell has a big problem. Because if you could just treat somebody like this and you feel good about it, and there's, you know what I'm saying, you don't feel bad or nothing, you treat a grown woman like she's your child, or treat a grown woman like she's your slave, or treat a grown woman like she's your servant, or treat a grown woman like she's nothing. Yes, she may be allowing you to do this, but you should feel bad about yourself. You're nothing but a manipulator. You're nothing. You're a horrible human being, is what Cordell is. So I just want to put that out there. That yes, Portia is stupid for allowing this to happen to her, but Cordell is horrible for doing this to a human being. Even though they may not be that bright, and then you can see where you could take advantage of them, and he takes the bait and takes advantage of them. So he's not good at all. He can walk around town acting like, you know, he's a man. He's not a man. Men don't do things like that to women. Men don't do things like that to themselves, and men don't do things like that to other people. He's not a man. I'm going to put that out there, so just let y'all know that he's not a man. All right, so anyway, so you know what I'm saying? So Portia revealed that, you know, she had to ask to do things, and Portia's sister could not come over to the house. Yeah, family can't even come over to the house. Because Cordell wanted to keep anybody, it's one of those situations where you don't want nobody around that can make the person that you're manipulating the wiser to your schemes and to your wrongdoings. Yeah, because, you know what I'm saying, her sister probably would have said, you know, Portia, he don't love you, he did that and the third. He don't want nothing like that around, you know, making her wise. So, it's easier to manipulate somebody if you don't have somebody, you know what I'm saying, telling the wise things in your ear. So, That's with that. All right, let's talk about Phaedra. Now, Phaedra, she had a little bit going on in this episode. You know, like I told you, Phaedra, she had nothing going on lately. But in this episode, you know, she meets with Apollo for dinner and a chat. You know, basically, Apollo, he kind of put his feelings on the line. You know, he put it out there. He said, you know, he said that he needs attention. And Kenyon was giving him that attention. That's why he liked all that foolishness that she was doing. You know, the flirtations and the, you know, all that stuff she was doing. He liked that because it was like attention from, you know, the attention that he needed. I guess Phaedra is busy. You know, Phaedra puts a lot of attention in their children. Phaedra put a lot of attention in her career and all her jobs that maybe she's lacking giving attention to her husband that he needs. You know, now, Phaedra, she did get subpoenaed from Kanye and Kenya's court battle. You know, Kanye is the was Kenya's old landlord. So Phaedra has got subpoena to, I guess, speak on, I guess, Kanye's behalf or speak on Kenya's behavior or her character or whatever, you know, to make her look bad. So basically, you know, they got into the test. You know, Phaedra was talking to Apollo about the test, and he claims that he didn't initiate it. So he claims that he didn't send the first test. Somebody lying, okay? Somebody's definitely lying. Now, Phaedra forbade Apollo not to test her friends, and he kind of got upset about that. And he's like, you don't tell me, you don't forbade me to do anything. You know what I'm saying? I'm a man, I'm whatever. But Apollo tries to drop the subject and weasel out of the conversation. Now, the reason why he's probably trying to weasel out, because he know he wrong, okay? Now, he know he texted that girl first. You know what I'm saying? He know that he wanted to, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say have sex, but he probably wanted to get a little quickie, a little something-something, if you know what I mean. Yeah, he wanted a little something-something on the side, but, you know, of course, he ain't going to admit that. But supposedly, you know, Kenya had offered, you know, to, you know, give him a little head, something like that, you know, so a little oral. Yeah, Kenya had and I can see Kenya doing that, and I'm pretty sure that he didn't want to turn that down. But, you know, but Apollo said that he left the hotel and went to another hotel. And then, but what Apollo messed up is when he told Phaedra that, you know, he could have done it if he wanted to. You know what I'm saying? That ain't the thing to say to your wife. No, Apollo. I mean, are you out in space? The thing to reassure your wife whenever you tell your wife that another woman offered to give you oral sex is to say, she offered to give me oral sex, but there won't no way in H-E double hockey sticks that she was going to put her lips on me. Yeah, but you don't say, well, you know, I didn't do it, but I could have done it if I want to. Wow, Phaedra feels so secure right now, knowing that there was a possibility that you was thinking about it. You know what? But, you know, Phaedra, you married him, you know. I mean, you married him, and, you know, you brought Kenya around, right? Because y'all was cool at first. Now y'all ain't cool, and she's acting ratchet, and now you ready to get rid of her. Your husband, he acting crazy, because he don't know how to control his emotions. And he probably don't, to be honest with you. You know, sometimes we always have folks can control stuff, and I am a firm believer that people can't control stuff, but some people just can't control themselves if they keep stepping in the same mud. Now, I think this is about the first time this actually happened with them, you know, this little stuff with them. But we're going to see how it plays out. Apollo's a mess, okay? He's a mess. Kenya's a mess. So, everybody, that about wraps up my review. So, as we know, you know, Nene, she's trying to find Kenya, you know, a house to live in, because she claims to live in the ghetto. Kenya met with Candy, and she said, you know, she didn't initiate anything. Apollo sent the first text, and she said that she doesn't want Apollo. You know, she's a grown woman. You know, she don't want a married man. You know what I'm saying? Cynthia, she's still trying to get better from her surgery, got a fibroid out, got it taken care of. You know, Candy, she just basically, you know, just informed, just informed Phaedra that Kenya said that Apollo initiated things and stuff like that. And Portia, you know, she met with the counselor, and then, you know, we kind of find out that she's dumber than we thought, because the man was, you know, basically telling her what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And then Phaedra sat down with her husband. They had a one-on-one, putting things out on the table. Apollo claims that he didn't initiate the test. And he claims that, you know, that Kenya did offer to give him oral sex, and he could have done it if he wanted to. Okay, so that is my review. That's what's going on episode 4 of the Hotlanta, Real Housewives of Atlanta, season 6, episode 4. I am your boy Z-Fly, and once again, you know, I got to invite y'all to please follow me on Twitter at Real Hot Fresh. Hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/RealHotFresh. And also, I have Instagram, too. If you want to hit me up on Instagram, let's share pictures and stuff like that, then hit me up on Instagram. Now, Instagram is my first name, Zacchaeus. Let me spell that for y'all. You know what I'm saying? It's Z as in zebra, A, I can't spell my own name. Sorry. Z as in zebra, A, C, Q, I, U, S as in snake. So as Zacchaeus, okay? Z, A, C as in cat, Q, I, U, S as in snake. Okay, so hit me up on Instagram, and definitely subscribe to me on youtube.com/realhotfresh, because like I've been telling y'all, I have a very real hot and fresh YouTube show that I'm planning. It's going to be like a little web TV show. I'm going to have, you know, interviews, celebrity interviews, a lot of great statements, a lot of great stuff coming up. So that's coming up sometime this year, hopefully the early part of this year, hopefully February. So just subscribe, you know, keep up to date with what I'm doing. And that's about it for this little review. So review episode 5 will be coming out very soon. So y'all keep it locked, because y'all know I'm about to keep it hot. All right, y'all, I am your boy Z-Fly. Till next time, peace.